And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Spin Rate, the Athletics Toronto Blue Jays podcast. We're here for an emergency edition of Spin Rate. My name is Drew Fairservice. I'm being joined by the Athletics lead Blue Jays writer. She covers the team for the Athletic, Caitlin McGrath. Caitlin, how are you?
Good. I'm a little surprised, as are you. I think that we were on the podcast a couple days ago, kind of trying to calm the flames a little bit around the Blue Jays. And it seems like maybe they were hotter than we thought, which is understandable in some ways. But also, this is a little surprising because I think it goes against the nature of this front office that seems to be a little bit more plodding, slow moving, analytical in their decision making. And it's, you know, understandable that sometimes these managerial firings happen when a team is underperforming as the Blue Jays are. But I think that a lot of us thought that the front office would give it a little bit more time, maybe.
Mm-hmm. You can listen, of course, to that episode that we recorded on Monday, you and I, if you subscribe to the show, wherever you get your podcast, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever. If you you don't have to subscribe to The Athletic to subscribe to the show, but if you go to theathletic.com/spinrate, you can subscribe to The Athletic, get a tidy discount, and get ad-free versions of the show through the app. Boom. We do it twice a week. Here we are, second time this week. Emergency pod. Blue Jays have relieved manager Charlie Montoyo of his duties as a manager. And it was really interesting because in the aftermath of our episode, we usually get some feedback. People say a couple things here and there on Twitter when we share it, which is kind of like the main avenue that you and I kind of, you know, do this sort of stuff, other than, you know, when you're, of course, writing about the team. But the feedback was like, thanks so much for being, you know, the feedback was good. People weren't saying that we were being shills for the team. They were saying we took a more measured approach. I think we were doing exactly what you just let out. We were kind of trying to take a read of the situation based on what we know about the Blue Jays front office and how they operate. I think that while we were wrong that it wasn't going to happen, I think a lot of the stuff that was true then is still true now. I don't think the Blue Jays front office is firing Charlie Montoyo and expecting it to be a great fix that's going to address all of the challenges within the team. It's not going to fix the start. It's not going to fix the starting rotation. It's not going to bolster the bullpen all on its own. There is a sense now, and as often happens, there are now bubbling reports about the mood in the clubhouse and whether or not Charlie had lost them, or whether or not I think I saw Arash Madani just saying that the front office was done with Charlie Montoyo, which is always odd to hear it come out after the fact, I guess, because they tend to be grumblings maybe that aren't exactly ready to be shared. But is that something, you know, what do you make of some of these grumblings and this sort of stuff that's bubbling up now that while the body is still warm, so to speak? But what do you think about it being beyond just a move for the sake of making a move?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for me to say without kind of going in there and talking to some people now and saying, you know, what happened. I can see a scenario where maybe Charlie's leadership style, while it was good for young players transitioning to the major leagues, I think maybe a criticism of him or something that was sort of talked about of him is, you know, is this the type of manager? Is he the right fit to lead a contending team, you know, to the major leagues lead a contending team in the major leagues? I don't know what I'm saying there. I think that there was, with a manager, you're also going to get, you know, players that really vibe with him and some players who don't, you know? So all these things kind of come out after. I think that honestly, like, to me, when Charlie got the sort of very tepid 1-year extension, that signaled to me that there wasn't, you know, a ton of faith in him. That you know, reading into that situation a little bit. You know, sometimes with these things like front office positions, managerial positions, like they're not reported, the years and the term aren't reported to the same extent that players are. So I don't even know that we ever knew the complete terms. I think that there was a report, maybe Shai had it, that there was sort of like some option years with Charlie. But the only publicized sort of extension that he got was that 1 year, which obviously is not, he's not going to be around for it. So, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, it feels like it just kind of was given to him because they didn't want him being that sitting duck manager, but it certainly wasn't a huge show of faith that he, you know, is like, here's this team that we're building that we think is going to be a contender for years and years and years. And oh, by the way, here's one extra year of an extension for you. Like, I think looking back and in hindsight, you can kind of read into that. That's what I would say on that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just been a frustrating year for the Blue Jays, honestly. Like, I don't know if the expectations have been too weighty. I think that also, like, we have to say that in these situations, yeah, the manager is usually the fall guy, but the players deserve some blame. There's some players on this Blue Jays roster that aren't playing to their potential. You know, there's guys at the top. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., he's having a good season, but by his standards, it's not been great. We know he can be a lot better. Bo Bichette's playing at an average major league level, maybe just slightly above it. We know he can be a lot better than that. You know, there's other guys that we've talked about. Teoscar's not having the year you kind of want him to. You know, the pitching staff, some of the guys have been struggling. Barrios has been, although he had a great outing yesterday against the Phillies, you know, obviously it's been an inconsistent year for him. But I would also say that the front office deserves some blame because they didn't build a shutdown bullpen. They knew the bullpen was going to be an issue. They were hoping that they could just score 6-7 runs a night and those warts in the bullpen wouldn't show as much. And that hasn't been the case. The offense has been good. It's at sometimes been the best in the league, but not for the whole season. And so because it's been a bit of an inconsistent offense, those warts of the bullpen have shown a lot more. The starting pitching has been a little more up and down than you wanted it to be. And that goes on the front office because they made the risky signing of Yusei Kikuchi. They knew he was not going to have a lot of time to iron out those kinks with Pete Walker and the coaching staff in spring training. They knew how risky that signing was. And now we're seeing him on the IL with a neck strain, which is, you know, quote unquote, a neck strain. So
he threw a bullpen the other day.
Yeah, he threw a bullpen. He looked pretty good to me. In the sense that he looked, but he looked healthy.
Like, well, look at that. He's throwing that hard. It looks from here. Yeah. Look at that. Bang, bang. You can hear the glove from here.
So that's what I mean in that, like, this is the type of situation where, you know, the manager goes, but it's the blame goes all around. And it's interesting because Ross Atkins is going to talk to us at 3:30, I think, and he's going to have to answer a lot of questions because this is on him too. He's the one that built this roster.
Charlie Montoyo is serving as a sufficient meat shield for both the players in the front office.
Yeah.
And now there is no more scapegoat. There won't be any more scapegoating of anybody else other than those who have a bit more of a direct hand in how these things and how the season goes. The players who might have been grumbling or sniping or upset or disappointed with the way that the challenges were going or the way that the batting order is or whatever, or the small in-game decision-making that might aggravate fans and apparently now has aggravated players. The front office has kind of removed that security blanket. Like, here you go. And the same thing with the front office, as you said. Now they've made a move that in some ways might look panicky, depending on your perspective. Obviously, that's kind of how it feels to me. I think the timing is interesting. There's not a lot to be said about the timing. But the other news is, of course, that John Schneider is going to take over on the interim level. And Casey Candele is coming up from Buffalo to be the bench coach. So Schneider is a guy who a lot of the players are familiar with. Are we going to see a different kind of manager? Are we going to see a different kind of vibe around the team? I don't know if anyone can say that for sure. I'd be surprised. I mean, you think he gets it. It's unfortunate. I mean, in a way to think like, okay, well, it's almost tragic for someone who's spent their whole life in baseball and then finally get their shot as a manager and have them now suddenly be treated as like a babysitter. Like Charlie was there to speak Spanish to these guys until they got their feet wet. And then now he's cast aside and they're just like, well, here's the big white dude now. And he's going to come in and lay down the law. Like, I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if that's the best version of the Blue Jays is the, you know, you and I both see so many people talking about the lack of focus or the Blue Jays. We talked about this at length on Monday. So, in any event, the security blankets are gone. The Blue Jays and the front office and the players, maybe out of excuses is a strong term, but they need to now figure out what it's on there. It's at their feet now. The fate of the season depends now on the players stepping up and being galvanized or not having any more excuses. However that takes life will be interesting to see. I think I saw Scott Mitchell from TSN saying that, it was Nick Ashburn. Basically, like, the team is going to, you know, regression to the mean is probably going to happen. They're going to play better because they're a better team than they've been. And whether or not we want to correlate it to the manager going, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It didn't work for the damn Angels, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you look at, I want to make 3 points, and you sort of alluded to one that I was going to make, is like, sometimes these things can go the way the Angels, where it's like a flawed team is a flawed team. It doesn't really matter. They've gotten worse, honestly, or they just really haven't gotten better. I think their GM, Perry Minasian. He came out the other day and he said, this is on me. I built the roster. This is on me. So if we go ahead a month's time and the Blue Jays are where they are now, like basically like barely hanging on to a playoff spot, then yeah, Ross Atkins has to come out and say, it's on me. I didn't build the roster. But as you say, these things can go all the way that the Phillies went, and they, you know, fired Joe Girardi. You know, the word on him was he was a bit intense, and maybe that wasn't what the Phillies needed. And so they've obviously brought in their interim GM.
Or judging interim by the manager. Judging by the restricted list for the Phillies is when they came here to Canada, there are not a lot of guys that like being told what to do. So maybe intense wasn't the right match for that group. We'll be right back with more Spin Rate, but first, check this out.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
It'll be interesting to see how John Schneider manages. How does the vibe change? Does the coat get burned? Is the seeds done? Is the barrio disbanded? You know,
Let me make two final points here. John Schneider, I think he actually is not entirely dissimilar to Charlie in the sense of like, I think that he understands how to communicate with players. I think communication is a really important thing for him. And that was something that was always really big with Charlie. I think, one maybe advantage that John Schneider has is that he's known some of these young players a long time, like Bo and Vladdy are the guys that you mentioned that he obviously managed, but there's other guys, Santiago Espinal and Danny Jansen and some of the pitchers and have been with him, and Lourdes Gurriel and Kevin Biggio, a lot of guys knew him as they were coming up, obviously know him very well right now. And I would say, like, John Schneider, like, the vibe that I get with him is he's pretty relaxed with the players. He kind of sees himself as their coach, but also their friend. Like, there's been a few times where he calls Danny Jansen like his son, his eldest son, like he just like because he just is so close with him, and obviously having that sort of catcher bond, I think. And Danny Jansen is just a very personal guy. They've gotten close. So that's kind of the relationship that John Schneider has with them. Is that, and I think as a bench coach, you can have that type of relationship with players. You can be more like the friend. You know, the manager sometimes has to lay down the law with the players, but the bench coach can come in after and say, okay, guys, so like, let's, you know, I'm your friend. I'm here for you guys. So that actually dynamic is going to be interesting to me. How does that change slightly? He's obviously been a manager before, been in the minor leagues. So that to me is going to be something that is, you know, interesting to see how that relationship evolves and how he handles, because it's not easy. It's not easy to step in as a manager. He's never been a major league manager before. He obviously has done it in the minors, but he's like Charlie. He's never led a major league team before. His time in the major leagues has been the same as Charlie. He came in that sort of major league coaching role. He's moved to the bench coach role in this last sort of year and a half. And the other point that I wanted to make on this, not really a point, but let me just say that, I really enjoyed talking to Charlie. He was, you know, one of the nicest men that I've met in baseball. You know, a lovely guy to just chat with, a lovely family. You know, it was really sweet seeing his son, Alex. His youngest son, Alex, was, you know, basically part of the team. He was always around in the clubhouse. The players loved him. The staff loved him. And you know, on this day, that's kind of what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about, it's not just Charlie losing his job. And I think if Charlie's been in baseball long enough, he knew his team was underperforming. He knew he was on the hot seat. He knew he just got a 1-year extension, all these things he knew about. So I'm sure that he could kind of see that this was a possibility, but you know, for his 14-year-old son who just loves going to the ballpark every day and was friends with the players, like, it's going to be hard on him. It's going to be hard on the family. Charlie's going to get through it. He's probably going to get more opportunity, maybe not as a manager right away, but obviously he's got great connections. He's well-loved at baseball. I think this is not the end of Charlie in some capacity in Major League Baseball, but I just wanted to say, like, I so appreciate all Charlie's time, learning from him, getting to know him. And, you know, I feel for him. I know it's business and I know it's baseball and I know these things happen, but I'm going to miss seeing Charlie every day. Honestly, just yesterday, like, I wasn't on the road trip and I sat down and in his manager's office, I have a seat that I always sit in and it's, everybody knows it's my seat. And just like, you know, Charlie turns to me and it's like, hey, Caitlin, I haven't seen you in a while. And it's like, I'm going to miss that. You know, he was a really nice guy, really got to know him well. And you know, I'm sure the players, whether they were, you know, huge fans of him, whether they, you know, didn't love his manager, saw, I don't know every player's intimate opinion on Charlie, but I would guarantee that, you know, everybody feels for him because at the end of the day, everybody agreed upon, like, Charlie was, you know, one of this, like, most genuine, nice guys you'll meet in baseball. And so I'm glad I got to know him. I'm glad that I covered the team. You know, I'm glad that he got some fun years in Toronto. He really loved this place and he deserves credit for, you know, navigating the team last year through a terrible season where they were playing in different ballparks. He doesn't maybe get as much credit as he deserves as what he did last year. And even kind of leading this team from a losing team into a winning team. He doesn't get to see it to the end, but you know, I appreciate him nonetheless.
Absolutely. And that is a common consensus. And I think that's the kind of thing we're going to see and hear in the next coming hours and days until, you know, the grind takes over and then that's it. And then it's, you know, what kind of job is John Schneider doing? What kind of impact is Casey Candele making? And it all remains to be seen. You know, Charlie, like you said, it's a tough business, but at this point, you know, there's only so many levers that they can pull. And while you and I were both sort of, I don't know that this is going to be the most effective thing. This is where we are. So the Blue Jays will move on from Charlie Montoyo. They have replaced their manager in the middle of the season while sitting in a playoff spot. And a couple other things about John Schneider there, I think there was a sense, especially before the Blue Jays hired Charlie Montoyo, that this was almost John Schneider's job in waiting. I had previously attributing a tweet to Scott Mitchell. What he actually said was something to the effect of, John Schneider's name was one that was going to be popping up a lot in managerial searches this coming offseason. So maybe the Blue Jays felt threatened about the prospect of losing him. And I believe the quote in Scott Mitchell's tweet was also, he was basically doing the job anyway, which is very interesting. And it's always interesting the way these things come out. It's you know, again, as we discussed, fans, so many fans, we kind of put ourselves in that fan position in some ways where it's like, fan, there's so much passion and they want to see something done. And in a way it feels desperate, but at the end of the day, you know, there are only so many other moves that the team can make other than selling, unless they just started trading everybody. Like, well, we're done. We're not going to win this year. So let's trade all the potential free agents. Let's move on. Not that likely. Anything else, Caitlin? Anything else you got for us?
No.
Just win, baby. That's where we are. This is the Blue Jays. Just win, baby. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah. Well, I'll have more from today, the fallout, obviously. Look for
Caitlin
that.
We'll have more from this for today. We were happy to hop on and crank out this reaction pod to the Blue Jays firing manager Charlie Montoya, who leaves the team with a 500 career record, navigating through some pretty tough times and being dealt with dealt a pretty lousy team at first. And the there's one more thing that I want to say. I think it's the thing that's on the back of everybody's mind right now. I'm just going to say what we're all thinking. Free John Gibbons. Free Gibby up. Free Gibby. Bring him back. Bring him home. Bring John Gibbons home. Her name is Caitlin McGrath. My name is John Gibbons, Stan number one, Drew Fair Service. Thank you, everybody, for popping in with us for this quick hitting edition of Spin Rate. We'll be back before you know it with more on Spin Rate.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.